Hello, friends, followers of Jesus. My name is Renee Antrozio, and it has been my privilege to serve as pastor at New Covenant for 9 years. After 19 years serving youth and schools as a social worker, that change was a big shift for me and my family. Some changes in our lives require leaps of faith into the unknown. And sometimes we just take one step at a time down a new path, hoping and praying and trying to be true to the life we are being called to live. In today's scripture passage, after Jesus' resurrection, but before his ascension into heaven, we find Simon Peter returning to his vocation as fisherman. Fishing is what he knows. Fishing is familiar. Fishing is what provides for his family. Fishing is what he was doing when Jesus first called him. Looking back to the beginning of the gospel stories when Jesus started inviting disciples to follow him in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. As Jesus walked along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. They were throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. That is who they were. But Jesus called them to learn new skills, to transfer what they knew into a different arena, a shift, a big life change. Perhaps you know that feeling. Remember a time when your life shifted. Maybe you are in the midst of that kind of transition now, to retirement, a new job, a new school, a new town. There is excitement and uncertainty. What will this new season look like? How will you still be yourself, fisherman, social worker, nurse, teacher, in this new arena? It can be incredibly hard to leave what is familiar and dependable, even if that job or identity is no longer serving you well, to embark on the unknown. For many years, I loved being a K-8 guidance counselor. I created a curriculum around literature and art and health science. I built relationships with 5-year-olds who hugged my knees and walked with them through the years until 8th grade graduation, dealing with issues and struggles along the way. I had salary and seniority and a seemingly secure retirement. Though I had gone to seminary years before, becoming a pastor was the furthest thing from my mind. When New Covenant began looking for another pastor after Ron retired, I figured they'd find someone who was right for the job, someone else. In Luke's telling of the calling of Simon Peter, Jesus commandeers his boat so he can teach the crowds without getting crushed, and then overwhelms Peter, similar to today's story, with a massive catch of fish. From Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, "One day Jesus was standing by Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, 'Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch.' Simon replied, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets.' So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter didn't feel worthy to be called to follow Jesus. He knew his own shortcomings. He was afraid he couldn't live up to Jesus' standards. He knew he wasn't qualified for this new job. I'm guessing we've all felt that way at one time or another, that we don't have what it takes, that the safe choice is to stay with what we know, that God can't possibly be asking us to do this job. Surely Jesus can find someone else more qualified. I certainly have felt that way. Find someone who is good at public speaking. Hire a professional pastor. Leave me, Lord, in case you forgot or haven't noticed, I am a sinner. Unqualified, bound to screw it up. And Peter was right. We are correct that we are imperfect. We will screw it up. We are sinners. And Peter was still Jesus' first choice, as we are. Not because we won't make mistakes, not because we are obviously qualified for the task. But Jesus sees something in us that we might not see in ourselves. Not perfection, but love. Jesus can work with love. He loves us, and then we respond to that love. Peter left everything and followed Jesus. What is that everything? Security? Familiarity? Confidence, belonging. What might Jesus ask us to leave? Our everything in order to follow him. For 3 years, Peter followed Jesus everywhere. He was with Jesus at all the big moments. He got to see the sick healed, the multitudes fed, the dead raised. He stepped out of the boat to walk to Jesus on the water. He was the one who recognized Jesus as Messiah, a high point that was immediately followed by a low point. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23. Now, when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the human one is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus replied, "Happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown this to you. Rather, my Father, who is in secret, has shown you. I tell you that you are Peter, and I'll build my church on this rock. The gates of the underworld won't be able to stand against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anything you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven. Anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, and that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. "God forbid, Lord, this won't happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stone that could make me stumble, for you are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." Peter went from being happy that God has shown him Jesus' identity as Messiah, being told he was the rock on which the church would be built, and that he would be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to be called out as speaking for Satan, a stone to cause stumbling, not thinking God's thoughts at all. Jesus didn't choose Peter because he was perfect. Jesus didn't retract his calling of Peter, or his title, or his responsibilities when Peter made mistakes. And just because Peter was chosen to lead didn't mean he always heard God clearly. Being chosen doesn't make us right all the time. Being a leader doesn't make us infallible. But Jesus doesn't retract his choosing of us for a job when we make mistakes. Jesus wasn't surprised that Peter was fallible. Being perfect wasn't why Jesus chose him. Jesus knew Peter would mishear, would think human thoughts. Like Peter, we will not be perfect in our listening, in our hearing, in our discernment. Sometimes we may be a rock that people can depend on. Other times, we will be a stone that causes someone to stumble. This is a hard truth, both for leaders and for those of us doing the following. Ron, Jim, Vern, Judson, none of them were perfect pastors. Many times they have been rocks of dependability and faith. And there were times that things they said or did inadvertently caused people to stumble. The same is true of me, Melissa, and Jeff. We are doing our best to listen, to follow, to lead, to be faithful. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we say or do something that causes someone to stumble. And that is hard on all of us, as individuals and as a community. But if Peter wasn't exempt from this dynamic, there is no reason for us to expect that we will be either. I will let you down. If I haven't already, I will in the future. How do we forgive each other? How do we forgive our leaders? How do we forgive ourselves for the times we let each other down? Let's return to the relationship between Jesus and Peter as our guide. When Jesus was finishing the Passover supper with his disciples and his betrayal and crucifixion were near, he said to Peter in Luke 22, verses 31 through 34 and 56 through 62, "Simon, Simon, look, Satan has asserted the right to sift you all like wheat. However, I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. When you have returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters." Peter responded, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus replied, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow today before you have denied three times that you know me." Later that night, after Jesus was arrested, a servant woman saw Peter sitting in the firelight. She stared at him and said, "This man was with him too." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not." An hour or so later, someone else insisted, "This man must have been with him because he is a Galilean too." Peter responded, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." At that very moment, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. How does Peter forgive himself? How does he get back up and become the leader that Jesus will ask him to be? How do we recover from our greatest failures? After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples several times in Jerusalem, showing up behind locked doors, asking for something to eat, showing them the nail prints in his hands and the wound in his side. Then the disciples returned home to Galilee. What are they supposed to do now? The original instruction was to follow me, which they did. But now what? The hopes of revolution seem stymied, if not crushed. Following Jesus up and down and around the country while he taught, healed, and fed seems over. Jesus isn't doing that anymore. That chapter is finished. The now what is a real question. So Peter went back to fishing, back to what he knew, back to what used to work. Which brings us to today's passage. Jesus returned to meet Peter right back where he first called him, fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They had fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus calls that question out to them and then tells them where to find the fish on the other side of the boat. The great catch of fish was a giveaway. It is the Lord on the shore, and Peter jumped into the water to get to him faster. He didn't hang back. If Peter was feeling any shame from his denial of his Lord, he didn't respond by hiding from Jesus, but rather by running towards him. Perhaps this is instructive of how we begin to forgive ourselves and accept Jesus' forgiveness. To seek Jesus' presence, not hide in our shame. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter walked together, and Jesus asked him 3 times if he loved him. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Peter responded, hurt that Jesus asked him 3 times, the 3 bandages to the wounds of thrice denying him. And it's here that Peter clarifies Peter's calling. Jesus clarifies Peter's calling. Originally, Jesus said to follow him and learn how to fish for people. Peter left everything and followed. Then Jesus said that Peter would be the rock on which he built his church. As mysterious as that may have sounded when the disciples were planning on a kingdom, not a church. Then in this final conversation, Jesus gives Peter his assignment to feed his sheep. That is the way Jesus calls Peter to express his love, to care for the church, to feed them with everything Jesus has given him, which the Holy Spirit will remind and instruct him. Peter used to be a fisherman. Now he is being called to tend sheep. To be true to his love of Jesus, he can't go back to being who he was, doing what he did before. If we are to follow Jesus, there's no going back. We are changed by our time with Jesus, our relationship with Jesus. In times of uncertainty or difficulty, I might think that if things don't work out, I could just go back to social work. But I too have been changed in this time walking with Jesus. There is no going back, only forward. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Sometimes there is a shift in our calling. First, Jesus said to follow, and then to feed his sheep. Both require steps of faith, leaving the old, safe ways behind. When Jesus showed up to Peter's place of work, he demonstrated how much superior his way was to Peter's. Though he was a professional fisherman, sometimes Peter caught nothing. Jesus knew where the fish were, not because he was trained as a carpenter, but because he was uniquely connected to the God of creation who made the fish of the sea. And whatever we have been trained in, social work, medicine, teaching, etc. Jesus knows more about it than we ever will. His way is superior. Perhaps Jesus is calling you into a new season of following him, or clarifying the calling you have already received. Perhaps you feel unprepared or unqualified. Like Peter, like all of us, you will make mistakes. We will fail at faithfulness. Sometimes we will not pass the loyalty test. Jesus knows that. Jesus wants us anyway. It is his faithfulness we depend on, not our own. Perhaps you need to accept his forgiveness for the times you've not lived up to your aspirations of being a good disciple. Or perhaps you need to be reminded of the love, yours for Jesus and his for you, that is the basis for the relationship and every calling that follows. As we consider how Peter's relationship with Jesus speaks to us today, I would like to end with a song about these steps of faith we make to follow Jesus when he calls us. It begins with the tone of caution, the voices that advise us to consider how much we are giving up. The first line starts, "So you say you're leaving your nets and boat. Don't know just what you're thinking, but perhaps you should know." This is a Jim Croger song entitled "Walking on Water" that he wrote during one of his life transitions, taking a risk of faith. It was especially meaningful to me when I considered leaving my social work job of 15 years to serve as pastor at New Covenant. Perhaps it will remind you of a leap of faith from your past when you left the familiar behind for a new calling, or speaks to a current situation where you are being called to trust as you follow Jesus into a new chapter of your life. Wherever you are on this journey, whether just beginning to follow or continuing with Jesus into a new phase of life, may you lean on the faithfulness and love of Jesus as the reason you again say yes.